With the Lord's gracious help, I will venture to speak to you this evening from the last three words in verse 25. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 15, verse 25, the last three words. Lord, help me. The whole verse reads, Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Here is a woman who came to the Lord Jesus Christ. In one sense, she had no right to come. She was not a Jew. And the Lord Jesus Christ had come specially to preach to Israel. But there are things in the case of this woman which speak volumes to the saints of God in all ages of time and are valuable as a lesson for us tonight. The first thing we want to notice is that she came with a case. She had a need, a desperate need. Her little daughter lay at home, vexed by the devil. But she made the case her own case. She doesn't mention, really, the daughter, apart from in verse 22 where she says, My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But in the words of our text, it's not, Lord, help my daughter, it's, Lord, help me. And I'm sure this condition of her young daughter was grievous also to her. It must have weighed heavy upon her spirit. We cannot be insensitive to the needs of others, and especially those whom we love. If we have a husband or a wife, or a son or a daughter, or a relation that is ill and perhaps in a very low state and condition, then it weighs also upon our spirit. We grieve on their behalf. We feel something of the pain that they feel. I've often thought, and I've experienced it in my own case, that when one is lying very sick, those nearest and dearest to them, in one sense, carry the heavier burden. They see their loved one suffering. They feel for them. They would almost exchange places with them. And so this woman, she had a need. Do we have a need tonight? Do we feel a need of God's salvation? Do we feel a need as poor, wretched, guilty sinners coming as we do this night in the presence of a thrice holy God? Do we feel that our life is upon a thread? It is appointed unto man once to die. We know not when that day shall come. But how will we die? Are we ready to meet God? Can we say that our sins, which are many, are all forgiven us? Do we have that confidence that Christ is our Saviour, our Lord and our all. Have we come tonight seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ? Because this is what that woman did. She came seeking after Jesus. Because she understood that he was the only one that could help her. That without him, her case was lost. And so to understand that we must present ourselves before God at last. And how can we stand before him if we only have our own righteousness to plead? As the scriptures determine, our righteousnesses are but as filthy rags. We will never stand in the presence of a thrice holy God. We need a better garb than that. We need to be clothed with the righteousness which is far superior. We need the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this woman was not worthy to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a stranger, a foreigner. She couldn't come to Jesus as one of his people. She wasn't a daughter of Abraham. She was of the line of Canaan. Canaan, who was cursed. A cursed nation. And so she has, I say, no right to come. But doubtless, she had heard something of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, she wasn't brought up under the law of Moses. She wasn't taught the lessons of God. She was in a far-off place. She knew nothing of the doctrine of the church. But she had something that many a Jew did not possess. She had a God-given faith. And again, let us ask ourselves tonight, do we have a God-given faith? Can we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, let's be clear. As in the case of this woman, her faith was put to the test. And if you and I have a God-given faith, it will be tried. The trial of your faith, says the apostle, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Do we realize what a gift faith is? We cannot procure it by our own endeavors. We cannot earn it by our good works. The only way to possess faith is to receive it as a gift of God. And whilst we look around so many in the world today, as has ever been, the majority are without faith. They know nothing of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have no desire that they might know him. We will not have this man to reign over us, is their chant. But there are a few. As it is always concluded in the scriptures, a little remnant, a little flock, the plants of the Lord's right hand planting. those that are special, not for anything in themselves, but they're special in the sight of God, because they have been loved with an everlasting love. Therefore, in loving kindness, he draws them. And this woman is drawn unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So, do we have a case? Do we have faith to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to meet our case? Do we feel the drawing power of the Word of God to come to the Lord Jesus? Have we come to realize, like this woman, that no help in self I find, and no help can I find in any other mortal upon this earth? You may have loved ones, and you may be very close in your relationships, but they cannot understand you. They don't know your innermost workings. They don't know what's always going through your mind. They don't know the sincerity of your religion. This woman, I say, was not worthy to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will be a blessed thing if we too realize that we likewise are unworthy. Unworthy of the least of all his mercy. Unworthy to be considered, to be looked upon, to be thought about. But she comes. She comes, nothing deterring her. Are we coming to the Lord Jesus? Are we coming just as we are? Are we coming as sinners to a Saviour? Coming with that realization that Jesus only can do helpless sinners good? Are we coming with the thought that he is the one and only one thing needful? Are we coming because we believe in him, that he is able to do abundantly above all that we can ask or even think? This is what faith is. If we knew the outcome, we wouldn't need faith. Faith looks upon impossibilities. We walk by faith and not by sight. We cannot see God's purposes in our lives. We cannot understand his dealings with us. But nevertheless, can we come? Can we come unto him with our case, with our condition? Can we cast our burden upon the Lord, realizing that he is able to sustain us? But how does she come? As I've said, she comes with her case, her great need, the case that she has made her own. So many come to the Lord, or presume to come into his presence, and yet have no need. If we have no need, we can get no answers to our need. It's only as we have a realization that our need is urgent, that our need is great, and that we can come to him because we know we can come to no other. Now, her faith And I believe that throughout this account, we can recognize that she has faith. How many witnessed the miracles in this chapter alone, which the Lord Jesus Christ did? They wondered at him. Great multitudes of them saw the lame, the blind, the dumb, the maimed, and many others have their conditions met. And yet how many followed the Lord Jesus Christ? How many were desirous of him? Yes, they saw these great wonders. It made a slight impression upon them. They were amazed at the power exerted by the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, it had no real effect upon their spirit. But this stranger, this woman of Canaan, this outcast, as she would have been among the Jews, recognize him who he is. She speaks of him as the son of David. Throughout the scriptures, the Messiah is set forth as the son of David. And so she, in that expression, recognizes him to be that Messiah, the long-promised one. Now the scribes and the Pharisees, as we read of earlier in this chapter, they had no recognition. Isn't it not amazing? These Jews, they had all the scriptures. These scriptures were especially, particularly designed for them. They could look back over history and see the Lord's dealings and leadings of his people. They understood something of the prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah. And yet when Messiah comes, they know him not. Well, does John say in his gospel, he came unto his own, and his own received him not? Is it not remarkable? Well, does the Lord Jesus Christ say, blind leaders of the blind? They were blind as to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This woman had her eyes opened. She could see something that the religious leaders failed to see. Whether she had witnessed any of his miracles, we're not told. Possibly not. Whether she had heard any of his wonderful sayings, we know not. But again, possibly not. She came out of her own country. She came to where the Lord Jesus Christ was. She was attracted unto him because she understood him to be the Messiah. And she understood something of the character of Messiah. That he hadn't come to judge. He had come to show his compassion, his tender mercies toward his people. And although she could not presume to be one of his people, yet nevertheless, perhaps she understood that there were occasions mentioned in the Old Testament where God looked favorably upon Gentiles. We think of the case of Naaman. Naaman was an enemy of Israel. He led the armies against Israel. But in his time of need, being directed by the providence of God, he comes to the prophet. And the prophet works a wonderful miracle. And this man ended up a believer in God. So she could look to those things and understand that there were special cases, although only a few, yet nevertheless, upon this she was encouraged that perhaps, maybe, this Messiah would have mercy upon her. Lord, help me. The word Lord was a recognition that he was God. How wonderful faith is to see the unseen, to know what the majority of mankind does not know. That here is the God-man, the Emmanuel, the Son of God come down from heaven to be a man upon this earth. She acknowledged him to be the sovereign Lord over all, the maker and creator of the ends of the earth. She saw in him his Godhead. Marvelous faith. Wonderful understanding that this woman had, whom one would naturally consider to be ignorant of all these things. And doesn't it show us that the Lord is able to work without means? We know that that the Lord usually works with means, but nevertheless, he is able to impart knowledge unto his people. Those words that we have in the 10th chapter of the Epistle to the Romans. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. She believed. She believed on the Son of God. She had a faith which God had given her. And the Lord Jesus Christ had journeyed to a place where she might meet with him. He knew that this woman would come to him, and he would show unto the crowd around him what faith really is. And so that faith was put to the test. She came and cried after him, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But she received no reply. The Lord was silent. He would test her faith. And it may be that you have prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord as yet has given you no answer. Well, here is an example in Scripture that the Lord doesn't always answer his people immediately. He would have them cry further. He would test their faith to see the genuineness of it. Have we called upon him? and yet receive no reply? Shall we give up? Shall we turn away? But just a moment. Her case is great. Her need is urgent. And she recognises that there's only one that can help her condition. Is it the same with you? Do you realise that the Lord Jesus Christ alone is able to save you? Is your plea, give me Christ or else I die? Are you looking to him alone? Will you no denial take? Then cry on. Keep calling upon him. Because the time will come when he will answer. But remember this also in her case. The Lord doesn't always answer as we would like him to answer. Again, he would try her. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." The Lord Jesus Christ, as Mark tells us, went into the house. And perhaps he laid hold on these disciples, crying unto them that they would get her admittance unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But they saw her as troublesome. They saw her as this foreigner who had no right to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so she finds no comfort, no help, no strength there, but rather a further denial of her suit. And then the Lord Jesus Christ answers her, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, I'm not sent to you. I'm not sent to you. Can you bear such a denial? Can you bear such a thought that the Lord Jesus Christ did not come for me? He came for others. These were of the household of faith. But me, I'm a stranger and a foreigner. I'm an unworthy person. I'm a great sinner. But she comes and worships him. And with that plaintive cry, "Lord, help me." And he says, "It's not meet to take of the children's bread," that is, "it's not meet for me to take away my ministry from Israel and to give it unto dogs," unto those who are Gentile heathens. But she answers, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." There she has witnessed the scene in the house, a family perhaps, where they're eating bread. And some crumbs fall down and the dogs soon lick them up. She's not offended to be called a dog. "Lord, help me." So her first word is "Lord." She appeals unto him as not only the Lord, but her Lord. What faith is able to do? It's able to break through the natural barriers. my Lord and my God. What a wonderful thing if we can call Christ our Lord. My Lord, my life, and my all. Her very expression is one of confidence in him. I say, against all these barriers that seem to rise up against her, yet she has the strength of faith to acknowledge him to be the one Lord, the Lord over all, God blessed forevermore. And she knew something of the character of her Lord, that he was loving, tender, compassionate, kind. And she looks to that characteristic of her God. And then secondly, she says, help. She needed help. And she had only one place where she could find that help. Her help was in the Lord her God. She could not help herself. Others were unable to help her. A woman alone. Looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeking help. Would he deny her suit? Would he turn away her case? Is not the Lord pleased to hear his people cry for help? Again, it shows her reverence of him, her deep respect and regard for this Son of God. Also, her faith understands that he is able to help, that nothing is too hard for him. No case is beyond his power. How often do we think that our case is hopeless, and not even God himself can break through these iron gates and brazen bars? But the Lord is able to do abundantly above all things. He will be looked to. We are to sue our case before him. We are to bring him all our needs and all our concerns. We are to pour out our spirit before him, because this is honouring to him that we should come to him alone. Other refuge we have none. There's no other helpers but this one alone. And she knew that he was able to help her. She had a confidence, a wonderful confidence, that he would meet her case. And then there's me. Lord, help me. Upon what grounds could she consider that the Lord would help such a one as she was? Was it made known in the Old Testament scriptures that the Christ of God should come into the world to save sinners? whether she had heard the scribes and the Pharisees spoken of at the beginning of this chapter, we cannot tell. Probably not. But perhaps she understood. But the Lord had not come to save the righteous, but sinners. We have nothing that we can bring before the Lord Jesus Christ but our sins. Isn't it our sins which separate us from him? Isn't it our sins which keep us back? How often we feel that we cannot come before him because we know that Satan has power over us, that we are effectually his slaves, and therefore we sin daily. And as we look over our lives, sins of youth, sins of commission, sins of omission, sins of every type and kind, how can we come to a holy God as such awful, how deserving sinners? This is where faith comes into play. This is where faith rises up to believe that God came for such. The Apostle Paul considered himself to be the chief of sinners, the very worst of sinners, because he had persecuted the church. He'd overseen the death of godly Stephen. He looked upon his wretched past life. Can such sins be put away? Ah, but you may be saying, you don't know what goes through my mind. You don't know what sins I've committed. You don't know how desperate my case is. How black I am. How filthy I am. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. How beautiful are those words in the opening chapter of Isaiah. I'll just read them to you. They made a great impression upon me in the past, and still do. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And does not the Lord said, I will cast all thy sins, every one of them, behind my back, so that I shall look upon them no more again forever? It's only sinners that need a saviour. And it is a faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Let us understand what that really means. We feel at times that we need to have some religion. We seek for a faith which we can manufacture ourselves. We try to make ourselves better, as if by making ourselves better we have any hope of coming before the Lord Jesus Christ. The more I fought against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled but the more, till late I heard my Saviour say, come hither, soul, I am the way. He is the only way. And he is a way for poor, wretched, hell-deserving sinners such as you and I are. And we can come to him just as we are in all our sin and shame and seek mercy through his precious blood. that one sacrifice that he made for sin forever. And the whole sin of the whole Church of God, the Lord Jesus Christ put away in that great transaction. And if we come in this way, as it is, as I say, the only way in which we can come, who gets the praise and honour and glory? We can attribute nothing to ourselves. We know that in and of ourselves we are utterly undone. Then we cannot boast that we have come to Christ. We cannot boast of our good works and our merits, because we have none of them. What we can boast in, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ. There's our boast, in what he has done. And if we come in that way, and are enabled thus to say, what he has done for me, then all the glory shall be ascribed unto him. All the praise shall be his. We can do nothing for ourselves. All is to him. And this is how he will have it to be. When we think ourselves better in ourselves, by ourselves, we are utterly under. But when we come, seeking mercy, as sinners, to the feet of the great Saviour, there is our hope. There is our plea. And that plea will not be turned aside. As this woman ventured, her faith was tried very severely. But as faith was tried, more faith was given. And we will prove, in coming to the Lord Jesus Christ in this way, that there will be a sufficiency of faith for us to overcome the Son of God because of his love to poor sinners. What a mercy that it should be said of us, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Lord, help me. Do we stand in need of help tonight? To whom are we looking? We may need help in many different directions. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. To make a profession of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to tell what he has done for our never dying souls. Oh, what joy that will bring to your heart to know that Christ triumphant reigns in your heart and in your life, and shall reign there forever, and you shall rejoice in him through a never ending eternity. Lord, help me. Three simple words, yet what great value there is in them. We need the Lord's help, not only in coming to him, but walking in him as well. Throughout our lives, we will need that help. And what a mercy that we can ever go unto him, that he is ever near, that he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Then whenever we stand in need of help, we can make this prayer. whether it be in the midst of business, in the hustle and bustle of the day, among friends or among enemies, silently or vocally, we can pray, Lord, help me. Oh, may these words be impressed upon your spirit, that you look to him as your helper. The Lord is my helper. What a mercy. Amen.